further added that if he had the choice to go and venerate a man whom St. Paul raised from the dead versus the chains which held St. Paul in prison, that without hesitation he would go and venerate the chains of St. Paul, adding, "There is nothing better than to suffer for Christ, and the most glorious thing that St. Paul did was suffer for our Lord Jesus Christ." Why is suffering for Christ the greatest of all goods? It is because the good of man consists in seeing God in the beatific vision. And in order to gain the beatific vision, that is, in order to have eternal life, it is necessary to be conformed to Christ. For in Christ is life, and only in him is life. For in us is death due to sin. And it is only by being conformed to our Lord Jesus Christ that we can hope to escape death, that we can hope to look forward to eternal life with a resurrected body in glory and in beatitude. The whole purpose of the incarnation of the second person of the Blessed Trinity was in order to die on the cross, to suffer for the human race, to release it from its sin, in order that our Lord Jesus Christ could give himself as a sacrifice to his Father. There was no other purpose for the incarnation. The culmination of our Lord's life was his holy crucifixion. And for this reason, he said, "It is consummated," on the cross. That is, his decree from eternity to save the human race by his suffering was consummated. That is, complete.
So also, we, in order to perfectly imitate Christ, must imitate his suffering. It is impossible for us to simply say, as the Protestants do, "Well, Christ suffered once for us, and it is not up to us then to suffer, to participate in his suffering." Rather, we must become other Christs, and we too must have this dedication, this devotion to suffering. Now, why is suffering necessary? Why did our Lord have to suffer? Why do we have to imitate the sufferings of Christ? For the very simple reason of sin. Sin is what brought death and suffering into the world. This life is more a death than a life, St. Bernard of Clairvaux said. For there is a sentence of death on all the life of this world. If we look at plants and animals and our own lives, they are all sentenced to death. And their hold on life is a very tenuous hold. So easily we are able to pass from this life to the next through death. In a moment. In the same way that a little ant is crushed, so also we can have life taken away from us. This is more of a death than a life because of sin. But God in his infinite mercy has not left us in this life of death, but rather has given up his own life in order that we might have eternal life. But the one unique and necessary way to this eternal salvation is the imitation of the sufferings of Christ, that is, the bearing of our cross, the death to sin in the imitation of the crucifixion. It is the single way to heaven. And this is what distinguishes the true Catholic faith from the new religion that has placed it in our parishes. For they have removed from their religion the idea of devotion to the suffering of Christ. They have removed the necessity for the cross in going to heaven. They have removed it from their doctrine, and they have removed it from their liturgy. They have even removed the sacred crucifix from the eyes of the faithful. And they have thus done the human race a great disservice. We are creatures. We owe our existence to God, and our happiness consists in the possession of God, and not in the possession of ourselves. If we seek ourselves as an end, if we make ourselves the center of creation, then we are condemned to misery. And those who obscure the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ to this world are those who preach a gospel of misery. For the cross is, as I said, the unique road to God, the one way to the beatific vision. Those who obscure that way preach a gospel of misery. When you go into the modern churches, therefore, and you do not see our Lord suffering, and you do not see the renewal of the holy sacrifice of Calvary on the altar, but rather merely a meal, you are seeing a religion that preaches this misery to the human race. When, on the other hand, you come to the true faith and you see our crucified Savior, and you come and witness once again and again, every Sunday, every time you come to the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the same sacrifice of Calvary that takes place not in a bloody manner but under the appearances of bread and wine, the very self same sacrifice, you are coming to the true fountain of eternal happiness. Nothing is greater than to suffer for Christ. It is also true that self-sacrifice is the most natural expression of love. The more we love, the more we seek to decrease ourselves and increase that which we love. It is the natural movement of love. If we love God perfectly, then we seek to decrease entirely and to be absorbed into Him and to become another Christ. We seek to be absorbed into a union with God where we are nothing and He is everything. For me to live is Christ, St. Paul said. How then do we suffer for Christ?
first by at least bearing patiently the crosses that are sent to us. At least that. All of you have crosses. All of you have some problem in your lives. Problems with your family, problems with your health, problems with money. Something. None of you are exempt from the cross. At least you must bear those crosses patiently. You must cease to see this life as a life of constant pleasure and fun. This life is a life of preparation for the next life. We must become obsessed with preparing for the next life in this life. And the best possible way to prepare for the next life is to bear patiently the crosses that are sent to us. What is the world except those people and institutions which seek this life as ultimate happiness? That is the definition of the world. And when, therefore, we reduce to a minimum our observance of the cross and increase to a maximum our fun, our riches, our pleasures, our distractions, however innocent they may be in themselves, when we do that, we approach more and more the world, and we recede more and more from God. And when we love God perfectly, we are not content with merely the crosses that are sent to us. Rather, we contemplate the wounds of Christ on the cross. We look at the opening in his side. We look at his scourged back. We look at the blood trickling down from his head. We look at his Sacred Heart. And moved by such a great love of God for men, we desire the same suffering. The saints and the holy people of the church throughout the ages have given themselves over, therefore, either to martyrdom or to religious life. They have given themselves up to God. They have given not only their health and their riches and their pleasures and their fun, but they have given themselves their own lives to God, because that life belongs to him and should be rendered back to him. That is the very soul of religious life, the giving up of oneself to God. It is the very soul of sanctity, the removal of oneself from the world and the giving of oneself to God. And this is done in suffering with our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. That is why the saints willingly took on very many penances. Penances which make us shudder because we don't love God enough to understand them. We don't have the courage to take them on. We don't have the faith to see their necessity and their value. That's why they make us shudder. But these great penances, these superhuman ways of detaching themselves from this world, were to them the most natural and, in a way, the most comfortable things that they could do. They were so driven by the love of God so driven by the passion of Christ to suffer with him that they could not bear anything but a life of constant suffering in order to be like him. That is what the ideal of sanctification is. And if we don't see any religious today, if we don't see people interested in the religious life, it is because they have in their heads the idea that I must make of this life the best and most comfortable and the most fun that I can. There is so much money to make. There are so many things to enjoy. There is so much fun to have, so many distractions, so many material things to have and to hold that destroys the very sense of religious life. So the saints tell us, suffer with our Lord Jesus Christ. As we approach Lent, therefore, be generous with your suffering for Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.